Well, we will be completing our monthly study, The Love God First and Love Neighbor by Self, tonight. And the subject that we have under consideration tonight is, how does love God first and love neighbors as self, how does that fulfill the old law and the law of the prophets? So that's what we're going to study about a little bit tonight. Let's read Matthew 22. We'll start in about verse 35 and read through 46. And this will set the stage. It said, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now it seems that the scribes and the Pharisees were willing to question Jesus on anything and everything they can. And they questioned him, usually to embarrass him, to trip him up, to entangle him. And this one was no different. But these scribes and Pharisees are sitting around and they're trying to fool Jesus and to get him backed up into a corner where he can't answer it. And finally, one of these smart, arrogant lawyers of the time that probably was very full of self said, well, I've got a question I can ask him. And this is his answer that I can get, and I can catch him and I can put him up in a corner and we can embarrass this man. So he asked Jesus a question. Which is the great commandment of the law? Well, Jesus answered him. He gave a very straightforward answer. And the answer that Jesus gave to this somewhat self-assured lawyer was one that really set the self-assured lawyer back, because it impressed all of the Jews. In fact, it astonished the Jews at the wisdom of the answer that Jesus gave him back. You know, they were not asking a question about salvation, but really the question that they were asking was about the duty that they had to God. And they had a duty under God, under the old law, and they knew what that duty was. They were very conscious of the duty they had to God. And we have a duty to God under the new law. And the answer that Jesus gave them back included everything and really left no room for any more questions. Love God with all your heart, your soul, with your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And he concluded, on these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. And they had no more questions for Jesus Christ. Jesus answered their questions, and he answered it well. And that pretty well solved the problem of these men, these scribes and Pharisees, and these people that thought that they were smarter than the Lord. Let's go to our Lord in the word of prayer. We'll come back and talk about this so that we can understand how love God first and neighbor second was not only was a fulfillment of the old law, the Old Testament law, and also the law of the prophets. These scribes and Pharisees got quite a reaction to the answer that Jesus gave them. They were astonished at it because it answered everything. And there was really no room left for discussion. The Jewish rabbis, one I read after, said that there were some 613 commandments in the old law that they had decided that the old Jews must follow. But when Jesus said the first two commandments are the most important, then this reduced the 10 that was given to Moses to the children of Israel. So I guess one of the thoughts they may have had to the reaction here was that Jesus is actually lowering the bar some. He's making it easier. He's taking away the laws and the restrictions that we have to have. And I guess, in effect, this is probably how this could be reasoned here, because he did say that the top two commandments was love God and love neighbor. And he said, upon these two commandments are all of the other commandments built. This is the foundation. You do these two, then you're doing what God has commanded that you do. But just because the summary of the law that Jesus gave here was a simple summary, it does not mean that it's easy. And it does not mean that it is easy to do. And it also does not mean that people can do it. because it is still impossible to follow the law completely and perfectly for humanity. But it did elevate the new law, and it elevated the law to the full height so that these people understood exactly what Jesus was saying when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. That meant that there was to be no part of their life that did not include God. That means that there would be no reserve, there would be no reluctance, there would be no hesitation when it came time to serve God. But in fact, God expected and demanded our full, complete, and undivided love. And that is exactly what Jesus was telling them here. And he said that the summary of the first, the great commandment, was to God. And that the summary of this first, of this commandment to love God, did take into effect the first three commandments that God gave unto Moses. Know God's before me, do not misuse my name, and remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And this is exactly the law that God had given unto Moses, that these men realized that they also had the responsibility to keep. So this law applied to them as it was written, and they realized it. You know, it also applies to us today, too. With the exception of the Sabbath day, there was an amendment to the Sabbath day that changed it from the seventh day to the first day of the week. But with this one amendment, this same teaching, love God with all of your heart, all your mind, and your soul, also applies to us today. So what does this mean? Let's dissect this a little bit so that we might understand this a little bit better, what Jesus was telling the scribes and Pharisees, this lawyer, and also, in effect, telling us today. What does it mean to love God with all of your heart? Well, it's a very simple answer. It means do everything that God commands of you. Do it without reluctance. Do it without compulsion. Do it with love. Do it with honor. Do it because that's what God said to do. Take the road or the route that would say that whatever my state in life might be, whether I be rich or poor, whether I be healthy, whether I be sick, regardless of the station in life or regardless of my situation in life, to love God with all your heart means that I'm going to love God with all of my heart, without reserve and without condition. And that's what Jesus told these Pharisees. What does it mean to love God with all of your soul? Well, that means there's no secrets. That means that there's no part of us that we try and hide from God or would not let God into. But in fact, when you love God with all of your soul, it means that you love Him wholly and completely in devotion and in service. And in fact, there is even a statement made to count God even as more precious than our own soul. Now you can contrast then when you go to the words of Jesus in the Gospels, where Jesus asked the question, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So to love God with your whole soul completely means to make God more precious and more important than even our own life. And Jesus said this, and Jesus proved this, when upon the cross he said, my life is in your hands, and into your hands I commit my spirit. That's what it means to love God with all of your soul. Well, what does it mean to love God with all of your mind? Proverbs answers this. Solomon answered this in Proverbs 1:7 when it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, because a fool will despise wisdom and instruction. So to love God with all of your mind is simply saying, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to do what God has commanded. I may not understand the commandments. I may not think that they are, that I could probably do it better. But when God says do it, then it is God's law and I will do what God commands. That is loving God with your whole mind, realizing that God is on a much higher plane than we are, and realizing that we don't have to understand what God says. We just have to do what God says. Obedience is following the words of God and following the instructions of God instead of following the partial or the limited knowledge that man might have and the man-made laws. To love God with all of your mind is to follow the teachings of God without hesitation, whether we understand them or agree with them. If it's God's law, if it's God's rule, that means we are to follow it. To conscientiously and with full agreement love and believe in God. Jesus said that's the first commandment. Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your mind. He said the second commandment goes right along with this. And this is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, as the first love, God took care of the first three commandments that God gave them to Moses. When he said, love your neighbor as yourself, this takes in the other seven commandments that God gave to Moses. To love our neighbor as ourself is also a duty to God. Loving neighbor as self means honor your father and mother. Do not murder your neighbor. Do not commit adultery with your neighbor. Do not steal from your neighbor. Do not commit false witness or lies against your neighbor. Do not covet what your neighbor has, whether it be his house, his wife, his oxen, his maid or his maidservants. Anything that your neighbor may have, do not covet. So, as the first law to obey, to love God, takes care of the first three commandments with one amendment, then love neighbor itself takes care of the last seven commandments with no amendments. And each and every one of these laws have been brought forth into New Testament Scripture. They applied to the scribes and Pharisees, and it also applies to us today. Jesus didn't leave out the rest of the details of the law, because there are the laws that were built upon these two laws as a foundation. But he was trying to explain to these people that love God first and neighbor itself was the foundation. This was the undergirding that everything else was built upon. There's no fear in love. And I think that's exactly what he was trying to impress upon these people. There's no fear in love. There's no danger. There's no harm in love. But perfect love will cast out fears. Fear has to do with punishment, and if we do what God has told us and are able to follow these commandments, then there is no punishment that can be applied. 1 John 4, verses 18 through 21 gives us the other side of this, where the man says, I love God, but I hate my brother. And John said, the man's a liar. He said, you cannot love your brother whom you have seen and love God whom you have not seen. So, if we're going to love God with all heart, mind, and body, or heart, mind, and soul, then Jesus said the second commandment that goes right along with this is love neighbor as self. And if you're going to love your brother who you've seen, hate your brother who you've seen, then you cannot love God who you have not seen. This is a tough commandment. This is a very tough, tough commandment. Because loving neighbor as self is very, very hard. It's easy to say, but this is a very serious commandment. Love originates with God. And the love of God to us is where we get the emphasis and the teaching that we are to love our neighbor as God has loved us. We love our neighbor because he first loved us. Now, what Jesus is teaching here, and I believe what these scribes and Pharisees and these lawyers are finally beginning to see, is that they were going to put Jesus in a corner with this question, and now they are the ones that are in a corner. Jesus goes on to talk about this. He's the only true path. He is the only one that was ever able to love God, to love his brother, to love his neighbor, to love his enemy as God had commanded. He was able to love the easy ones to love, and he was able to love those that are hard to love. The love came first from God. And it is from this that we get the teaching and the ability to love our neighbor as ourselves. But it's a tough commandment. And as Jesus continues to go on, nobody but he was able to do this. Jesus said, if you can just keep these two laws, that there would be no wrong, you would have no problems, and everything would be great. And God would find no reason to condemn us. But of course, we know that it is impossible for us to keep these two laws to the level that God expects us to keep them. And this is a sad reality of things. But as human beings, we are unable to love God and to love neighbor as we have been told and been commanded to do. We simply cannot obey it with the perfection that he requires, not with all heart, all soul, and all mind, and love neighbor as self. Now we know it's right, and we know it's good, and we know it's noble, and we know it's true, and we know it's praiseworthy. It's admirable, it's something we hope for and try to attain, but as human beings, we cannot do what God has told us to do to the point that we might be justified. So who can? Jesus said all of the laws of the prophets, all of the law and the laws of the prophets depend or literally hang upon these two commandments. That means that every word that is written in the Bible, every word that has ever been commanded from God to man, everything that had been written from that point and to that point forward, from the Old Testament to the New, depends upon love of God. It depends on love of man to God. So love, or charity, as Corinthians calls it, charity is the greatest. Love then is the linchpin, the framework, the foundation, the undergirding, and everything else that we have ever been taught or commanded hangs upon these two commandments. That's why it is so important, and that's why the scribes and the Pharisees realized that they had really got themselves in a bind here. And the Bible says, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions, because Jesus had certainly won this round. It is the essential quality of God that we love him and that we love our neighbor. And then Jesus, in this 22nd chapter of Matthew, asked another question. And this is a question that really put the backs against the wall, because he couldn't answer it. And they had nothing else to talk to with the Savior. He said, what do you think about Christ? What is your opinion of Christ? Who do you think I, as Christ, am? Whose son is he? How is it that David could call him Lord if he is the son of David? So Jesus is saying, just who do you think I am? How do you explain me? And now they really realize they've bitten off more than they're able to chew. They got a bigger problem with this man now, this carpenter's son, than they felt they had ever had, because they are not going to be able to outsmart him or to outflank him or to cause him to trip over his own words, because now Jesus has put the ball right back in their court. And he's left them utterly, totally, completely guilty before God. Because they realize now, we've not kept the law. We have not fulfilled our duty to God. And now Jesus has made this very, very plain. And it does the same thing to us today. Because just as these scribes and Pharisees were able to recognize their guilt, that they had not been responsible to their duty to God under their law, it's the same problem today, because we have also failed in our duty to God by the new law that we follow. Jesus loved these Sadducees, he loved these Pharisees, and although he criticized them and they had a lot of problems, he didn't want them to be condemned. He wanted them to learn, and he wanted them to do what they had been told to do and what God had expected. God expects of them. Christ says of himself, yes, I am the son of David. Yes, I am a descendant of David. Yes, I have the full of authority to accept and to reign upon the throne of David. Yes, I am the son of David. But much higher and greater than that, I am the son of God. I'm greater than David. I'm greater than any earthly king. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. I am more than a mere man. I am, in fact, the son of God. And then he goes on, he was the one that was able to fulfill the duty of love as God had commanded it. He, Jesus, alone, had been able to love God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his mind, and he also was able to fulfill the commandment to love his neighbor as himself. And he's the only one in history that has ever been able to do that. Jesus himself was the one that was able to fulfill every duty before him, and this was the truest and the purest expression of God's love for the world, and one that loved God with all of his heart, unconditionally, with his soul. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, with all of his mind, He was the one that was able to do it. So Jesus said, here is who I am, scribes and Pharisees. You have no idea who I am until you believe upon me. So, as we can conclude, my assignment tonight was, how does the fulfilling of the old law and the law of the prophets relate to these two commandments, to love God first and to love neighbor as self? Well, the answer to the question is, the fulfillment of the law and the fulfillment of the prophets was Jesus himself when he taught, love God first and neighbor as yourself. Because Jesus was able to completely, totally fulfill this high, impossible expectation that God had for humanity. Jesus is the promised one. He is the one that fulfilled all of the prophets and the law. He is the one that fulfilled the law that the prophets could all hang on to. He was the one that fulfilled the law upon all laws, Old and New Testament, are written. We couldn't do it. We have no capability. We are not able to live in such a way, to love in such a way, either God or neighbor, that we are able to do what God has told us to do. But Jesus was able to live justly in the eyes of God. He now is our Lord, our Savior, the author and perfecter of our faith. He fulfilled all love's duty for us and for God. He is alive. He is working for us today. He makes intercession for us with God, that we, not through our own abilities, but through Jesus, through obedience to him and his teachings, we might learn and attempt to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and to also keep the second commandment, which is to love neighbor as self. We do this because he first loved us, he gave himself for us, and we, through him, have the opportunity to live according to these two commandments that he says everything else is based upon. So, that's how the law is fulfilled. That's how the old law is fulfilled, the law of the prophets, through Jesus Christ himself, who was able to live it perfectly, justify it, and then rewrite his own law that we might have an opportunity of salvation. We allow for an invitation at this time. If we can help anyone in any way, we ask you to come forward as we say.